All right, we just finished up a series called The Unseen, The Invisible, and we broke it up into the invisible creation, the invisible battle, and the invisible me. Those are on the website, and so if you want to hear any of those, they're there. Today is our last Sunday before 2020. Can you believe it? 2020. Man, when I got saved back in 1985, Jesus was coming back before 2000, in my opinion. He's late. I always tell God, why don't you do things according to my timetable? Why don't you do things according to how I see them? Do you ever do that? Of course you do. You pray and you say, God, do it this way. God, this is how I want you to do that. But God has a lot of patience. God is on a different timetable than us. If you haven't noticed that yet, welcome to the party. You're not late. You're never late to God's party because He is on a different timetable. So I want to share with you today a message I've called Seek to Understand. Seek to understand. And just to give you a little bit before we jump into it so you understand what I mean by understand or the definition I'm giving it and trying to give it biblically is you can have knowledge. Knowledge is having facts. Knowledge is having facts. Knowledge is having information. Wisdom would be being able to take all those facts and all those experiences and use them in a way that is profitable, to be able to take all the knowledge and all the facts that you have and experiences and use them in a way that now you encounter something else, you're able to make a wise decision. That's wisdom. Okay, so I'm not talking about knowledge. I'm not talking about wisdom. I'm talking about what the Bible talks about as understanding. Understanding is when God takes knowledge and He even takes wisdom and then He adds what I'll call understanding, or maybe another word would be His revelation to it. When He lifts the veil and gives you the ability to see what you couldn't see before. And now I didn't plan this, and I'm sorry it turned out this way, but, you know, it's the first message going into 2020. I did not plan it to be a message 2020, 2020 sight, year of it. That is not, I tried to avoid that. I was laughing at that as we were moving into this year. I even said, wait till you hear all the words on vision, because it's 2020, and this is going to be a year of where God opens the eyes. And here, I feel led to share on God's like, ha-ha, you'll make fun, will you? And so, but the word is understanding, understanding. Let me give you an example of understanding versus knowledge and wisdom. Understanding is when God says to Peter, after Peter says, when Jesus asks the question, who are you? Or who do men say that I am? And He says, you are Jesus. You are the Son of God. You are the Christ. And what did Jesus say to him? Flesh and blood, Peter, hath not revealed that to you. So in other words, Peter got an understanding that he could not have outside of God the Father giving him that ability. Okay, so that's my definition of understanding as we go forward. We on the same page. There's knowledge where you can, you're hearing words and you're taking them in. There's wisdom. All of you have wisdom that you've learned over the years and you applied to life. But understanding is when God gives you a revelation. So, we're going to look at three scriptures. Again, this message is entitled Seek to Understand. Seek to understand. Seek to understand. Exodus 3, 2 through 4. Now, this is the area of seeking. We're going into a new year. It'd be a good idea for you to readjust your seek, to refocus your seek, to be intentional about your seek. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness. What will happen to them? They will be filled. All right, so here's a situation where Moses, he's out on the backside of a desert. He's been there for 40 years. He feels like he hasn't accomplished what he originally thought he was to accomplish in Egypt when he tried to help the Israelites get out of slavery. He thought that was his call back then. Turns out it wasn't God's timing. And so he's now on the lam. He's been running for years. It's 40 years. He's in the desert. And now he's just out tending sheep. And it says, and the angel of Jehovah, the angel of the Lord, appeared unto Moses in the flame of fire out of the middle of a bush. And he looked, you know, serving the Lord will be difficult at times when you try to explain to people, especially what I'm going to share with you today, is the encounters that you have with God and what you truly believe, right? How many of you believe that Jesus was born of a virgin? Yeah, do you know that's nonsense to the world? Right? How many of you believe that Jonah was in the belly of a great fish and he lived there for 3 days? Yeah, that's nonsense to the world. Well, an angel appeared to Moses, and it was in a bush, and it was a fire. He's in the middle of the fire, and behold, look, the bush burned with fire, but the bush was not consumed. And so Moses said, and this is the important part of seek, and we're going to get to this in a little bit. And Moses said, I will turn aside now. So he sees it, and he didn't go, that's interesting. What am I going to have for lunch? He didn't say that, see that bush burning and go, you know, my shoulders are just killing me. Man, why do I have to watch all these things? He says he turned aside. He made a choice to look and go check this out and see the great sight, why this bush is not burnt. And then notice what happens. And this isn't an accident, right? God doesn't, when Moses wrote this, it wasn't like, I need 3 extra verses to be able to make my 500 quota for today. Or, you know, I'm really feeling that this needs to be bigger and bolder, and so I'm gonna, no. The Holy Spirit gives us these things for a reason. It says, and when Jehovah saw that he turned aside to see. Do you see what that's saying? Here Moses sees a burning bush. Who's in the bush? God's in the bush. And it's not enough that Moses just sees the bush. God is waiting. God is waiting. What is God waiting for? He's waiting for Moses to make a decision. He's waiting for Moses to take some responsibility. He's waiting for a response. I never even thought of this word till this week. Responsibility, the breakdown of the word responsibility, right? It is your response ability. It is your ability to respond. Each of us have different response abilities. And you are held accountable for your ability to respond. In other words, we don't say to a little baby, like, why didn't you empty the dishwasher? Because they don't have the ability to respond to that yet. Right? You say that to your husband. Why didn't you empty the dishwasher? Why didn't you watch after your brother? I know that you're 3 and he's 16, but why didn't you watch after your brother? It is not that child's response ability, so we don't hold them to that. They're not mature enough. But there is a time when you have an ability to respond. Amen? And that's what you're held accountable for. And so Moses responds. It is his responsibility to respond. And when God sees that he turned aside, then what does God do? He calls to him out of the midst of the bush and says, Moses, here I am. Another verse, I just mentioned this one, Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Who's going to fill? God is going to fill. What is our response ability to hunger and thirst after him, to seek? And remember, the message is seek to understand. And then the last one we're going to look at, last portion of scripture, is in Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. My son, if you will receive my words and lay up my commandments with you, incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry after discernment and lift your voice for understanding, if you seek, everybody say seek, if you seek for her as silver, you see what God's saying there? He's saying, you have a seek, and you seek after things with different degrees of intensity. And you seek after those things with different degrees of intensity because they are based on how you treasure them, right? Wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And so we all treasure different things at different levels. Some of us treasure relationships, certain relationships, higher than others. That's why you spend more time in that relationship. Some of us have hobbies that we like, and we spend more time in those hobbies because we treasure those hobbies. And so God is saying, if you will seek out understanding like it's silver, he's saying, well, look, I know that all of us have a tendency to have a gravity toward money because we think it's our sustenance. We think it provides for us. And so he's saying, how someone would seek for silver, that's how I want you to seek out understanding, for me to reveal myself to you. If someone told you, you're not going to believe this, but the house you bought, I owned it like around 25 years ago, and I had this like really rich uncle, and he gave me like 18 ounces of gold. I put it somewhere in the house. I have no idea where it is. But if you find it, look, you can keep half of it and just give me half. What would you do? Get the sledgehammer. Get the sawzall. Right? No, your shorts in that. Yes, some shorts in the house. Right? Or for some of us, the person may say the same thing, same scenario, and they'd say, hey, there's like 6 pounds of chocolate hidden in the house. There's a pound of teriyaki jerky somewhere in the house. I'm like, what? I don't need to sleep. Seek for it like silver and search for her as hidden treasure. Verse 5. And then, oh, then what? So my response ability is the seek, and then I will get understanding. I will have the veil lifted in the fear of Jehovah, and you will find the knowledge of God. Verse 6, for God, Jehovah, gives wisdom, and out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. You get it all. Father, again, thank you for the opportunity to just sit under the ministry of your word. We thank you for the privilege and the gift that you've given to us to know you better and to seek you. We pray that you would, by your spirit, open up our eyes and our ears to your understanding today in Jesus' name. And if you want that, say amen. Amen. All right, so there's two basic stories that I want to share with you that kind of convey this idea of the difference between knowledge and even wisdom compared to understanding or the revelation of God in Scripture. And all of us, I'm sure, will relate to this in some way. But if you are saved, if you are born again, if the Holy Spirit is in you and you are a new creation, you have a desire to know God because His presence is in you. That's just a given. That's a reality. When I was younger, and I didn't have the Holy Spirit in me, I still had a desire, but it was more of a, maybe I should seek this out. But once God's presence was planted in me, it created a desire to know Him personally. If you are born again, you have a desire to know him personally. If you are not born again, you want to know God, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I am the door. I am the way. I am the way you do that. And I am the only way you do that. And so there's this entrance into the kingdom. No man can see the kingdom unless he's born from above, born from God. And how is one born from God? It has to be a God work. And you just, your responsibility is say yes, and then God responds. But the two stories that I want to share with you are Philip, who was asked by God to go and minister to this Ethiopian eunuch. And the other story that I want to share with you is a story about Jesus after he was resurrected and he walked with these two disciples on the road to Emmaus. You can look at these two stories on your own. They're in Acts chapter 8 and they're in Luke 24. I'm going to reference some of the scriptures, but if you want to go there later and look at the big picture, you can do that. But I just want to draw some things out of there for you. So the first one is Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. So Philip is a man who was chosen by the apostles because at one time there wasn't this, the Hellenistic Jews, the widows who were not receiving the same amount of handouts, distribution of food that all the other widows were getting. The disciples said, we need to put men over this so that it can be adequately and properly administrated. And one of those men was Philip. And so they laid their hands on them and sent them off to do their work to wait on tables. And then after that was done, because of their faithfulness, we now see God promoting them to greater responsibility. When they were faithful with what they had, God promoted them to more. Stephen was one of them. Philip was another one. So Philip goes down and God says, I want you to go and I want you to attach yourself or spend time with this Ethiopian eunuch. And this Ethiopian eunuch is on a chariot and here he's reading the book of Isaiah because he's just come to Jerusalem because he was a proselyte. Even though he was from another country, he wanted to know God and he felt that he wanted to know the God of Israel. And so he's in Jerusalem for that time and he's leaving now Jerusalem, the Passover and the celebration on his chariot. And Philip comes up and he's reading the book of Isaiah. And Philip says to him, hear these words, do you understand what you're reading? Do you understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian eunuch said this. He said, how can I understand it unless someone explains it to me? How can I understand it? He said, is he talking about himself? Or is he talking about another? And in the portion of scripture that he was reading in Isaiah 53, it is a messianic prophecy about Jesus and how Jesus would come and how he would give his life for the sins of you and me. And he would make himself a payment for sin. And so the Ethiopian eunuch says, how can I understand unless someone explains it to me? So my point is this. Is that he was reading words that he knew the definitions for, didn't he? He knew when it said he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquity, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. He knew the words, he knew the language. He knew, he understood language, he understood words, he understood the definitions. But he didn't understand. He said, is this talking about, is this prophet talking about himself? Is he talking about somebody else? And he needed somebody to give him the understanding of God. And then it says, and then Philip began to tell him all that Jesus of Nazareth had done and how he came, lived a sinless life, how he died on a cross, how he was buried, and how he rose on the third day, and how he ascended unto God. And then because now all of a sudden he has understanding, he says, well, what stops me from being baptized then? He said, nothing. And so now he has understanding to the words that he just read. He didn't need Webster's interpretation. I realize Webster wasn't around back then. But in our understanding, he didn't need Merriam-Webster's dictionary to understand God's revelation. He already knew definitions of words. He already knew the language. What he needed was someone to tell him God's revelation. And when he received that revelation, he now understood what the words meant. And there's a difference. There's a difference. How many of you have had an experience where you've read a portion of Scripture all your life? You knew the words, you knew the definitions, you knew the language, and then all of a sudden God gives you understanding. And it gives you a whole new understanding of who God is and how you know Him better. And so this is what happened to this individual. I want to read you now from Luke 24. This is the road to Emmaus. And Sheila, I didn't put all of these in there because it's rather lengthy, but I do believe I have one of the verses in there, but you don't have to put that up just yet. All right, but this is Luke 24:13, if you want to follow. And see if you can pick out of here as we begin to read this difference between knowledge and understanding or knowledge and revelation. And we're starting in verse 13. And behold, two of them were going that very day to the village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about the things that had just taken place. What had just taken place? This is right after the crucifixion. This is right after they had believed that Jesus was the Messiah. But the crucifixion took place. They're downcast. They don't know about the resurrection yet. And so now they're talking with each other about all these things. And while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. It wasn't like he just poof showed up like out of thin air. He's walking on the road and he joined them. So imagine yourself, you're just walking, let's say you're walking through Walmart, right? You and whoever you're with, and you're making your way down an aisle, and it's nothing supernatural. You're at Walmart. And then all of a sudden, someone joins next to you and says, "Hey, what are you guys shopping for?" And immediately, you, like everybody else on the inside, not on the outside, you'd go, "Uh-oh." Right? And you say, "Oh, we're just picking up some things." And, "Oh, yeah. So what do you think? Wonderful holiday, right?" "Yeah, great holiday. Yeah, did you have a good holiday?" "Yeah." "So what are you guys talking about?" It's like, "Leave me alone." Right? So Jesus walks up with these guys, and he's just saying, "Well, what are you guys talking about?" He approaches them and says, "Tell me, what's going on?" And so they were talking to each other about the things that had taken place, and Jesus joins and approaches them and began traveling with them. And it says, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. It doesn't say why their eyes were prevented from recognizing them, but their eyes, they couldn't perceive, they couldn't understand. They didn't know it was him. And here, if you look back, these are disciples. Could that be possible of us? Could that possibly be possible of us? That we're walking with Jesus, but we don't perceive it. Or we're in a situation where we're encountering people and we're supposed to be Jesus to them, but we don't perceive it. We're too enamored with ourselves. We're too enamored with our own agenda. We're too enamored with our own idea of what Christianity is and what it is not. And he said to them, "What are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking?" And they stood, still looking sad. Verse 18, and one of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, "Are you the only one?" This is a great encounter, right? They're talking to Jesus. They're like, "Are you the only guy visiting Jerusalem that is unaware of the things that have happened in these days?" I can just see Jesus going, "No, tell me. Tell me about these things." And he said to him the things about Jesus, the Nazarene. And he was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, and in the sight of God and all the people. And how the chief priests and the rulers, Jesus, like, tell me about it. How did these things happen? And he said, the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all these things on the third day, they are the third day since they happened. But also some of the women among us amazed us when they were at the tomb early in the morning and they didn't find the body. Jesus is like, really? Wonder what happened to the guy. And they came and they were saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And some of those just who were with us went to the tomb and found it was exactly as the women said. Those pesky women. The first ones to proclaim the gospel. But don't let them speak in church. Something doesn't add up there. And also he said, but him they did not see, meaning Jesus. And then he said to them, oh, foolish men, slow of heart to believe in all the things that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? And then beginning with, now it's their time for Bible study. And beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in the scriptures. And now here's the key, right? One of the keys. And they, as they approached the village where they were going, he acted, please see this and hear this, he acted as though he was going to go further. They're walking with him. They're getting ready to stop at this city. He pretends like he's going to go further. But they urged him. One version says they constrained him. They said, please stay with us, for it is getting toward evening and the day is nearly over. And he went to stay with them. And then when he reclined with them in the table and he took bread and blessed it and broke it and began giving it to them, boom, then their eyes were opened and they recognized him and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, all the way back on the road, and he was explaining the scriptures to us? And they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found gathered together the 11 who were with them, saying, the Lord has truly risen and he has appeared to Simon. So here, Jesus is walking with them, but they didn't recognize it. They didn't understand. They had all the facts, but their faces were still downcast. They knew all the facts about Jesus' life, his betrayal, his death, his burial. They had the facts about the women seeing him there, but they still didn't understand. But Jesus had to explain to them. Jesus had to open their eyes to the understanding of the scriptures of Moses and the prophets. And he explained all of the scriptures concerning himself, and they still didn't know it was him. Don't assume you understand. And now they're sitting at the table. Now they're sitting with him, and all of a sudden, God uses all these little mosaic pieces. He uses all these little pictures of the puzzle that they now have. That they were walking on the road. Their hearts begin to burn within them, but they still didn't know who it was. They begin to share with him. He begins to share with them. And now they're sitting at another piece of the puzzle on their journey, and they see the bread and they see the wine, and Jesus gives it to them, and then boom, the pieces all come together, and now they have understanding. But how did it happen? It was because Jesus pretended like he was going to walk further, but they said, no, please, stay. Moses sees a bush, and he says, I will turn aside, and I will look at this sight. And then God spoke. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. Seek to understand. Let me share with you an experience I had. This was probably, I don't know, I'm terrible with time. Let's say 15 years ago. It was at a men's retreat back when we went to Northwest District men's retreats. And it was, I think it was at Laurel, not Laurelville, but Laurel Camp, I think was the name of the place. It was up in Butler. Anyway, so we're having a worship time. And this is, again, just an example of seeking as you begin to go into the new year. If you want to understand things, if you want to God to open up your understanding for things in your life, just begin to seek. It's really that simple. I love that song that we sang, and all I did was worship, and all I did was pray. All I did. So we're in worship. And it was one of those times when you're just worshiping and all of a sudden you begin to sense like the presence of God in a heavier way. Okay. So if you have not experienced that, all I'm saying is you begin to actively, physically sense the presence of God, and it's a weight. I'm sure it all affects us differently, but it's a weight. You just know, and you begin to sense the presence of God. And so those of you who have experienced that, you enjoy those times because you can't manipulate them. You learn to treasure them because you can't even initiate them. It's God, at some time, at some point, we seek God, but at some point, he says, if you seek me, what? You will find me. God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We can't control the time. We can't control the circumstances. But it's going to happen because he desires for you to know him. And so it was one of those times where it was just, I wasn't doing anything out of the ordinary. It wasn't out of the ordinary worship service. It wasn't, but I'm worshiping, and then all of a sudden I sense God's presence, and I'm just telling him how much I love him and thanking him for this and thanking for that. And I'm probably crying, would be my guess. And then I began to sense his presence starting to go away. Let me say that again because it's important. I started to sense his presence going away. And this was my thought. No. I said it in my thoughts. No, please don't go. Moses, burning bush, says, I will turn aside. I will go look at this. And then God spoke to him. The disciples on the road to Emmaus, no, don't go to another city. Please stay with us. And then they had understanding. And so I said, no, please don't go. Stay a little longer. And when I said that in my thoughts, all I can say to you is okay, so his presence is leaving from me, and I'm very thankful for the time I had. And as soon as I said that, it was like it went, and God nailed me with his presence. All I can remember is after it was over, I looked at somebody who was with me, and they were looking at me strange. I had snot running down my face because I was crying so much, and I don't know how much time passed, but it was God's response to me saying, no, please don't go. Please don't go. I desire to spend time with you. And he honored that, but I'm sure it was more for me to teach me, because when you begin to seek God, you will find him. So seek to understand, right? So anybody, we all can read a devotion. We can all go through and let's read the Bible in a year. Right? And I think I saw something on Twitter. Somebody put on yesterday. It said, my read your year through the Bible has come to this. Ezekiel 1 through Matthew 24 today. Matthew 24 through Galatians tomorrow. And Galatians through Revelation for the end of the year, because they hadn't done it. But we can all read a devotion. We can all read a chapter of scripture. We can all pray the bless me prayers and my friends' prayers. But the Lord wants us to learn how to press in, to seek, to desire him like silver. What is your silver? All right, it really is as simple as so when you're at home and you're watching your favorite TV show, and then all of a sudden you go, you know what? Click. Lord, I want to know you. And it's okay. Nothing happens. But you turned off the TV. It's as simple as you have an opportunity anytime throughout the year to push the plate away and go, you know what? I'm going to take this time, and I just want to know you. It really is as simple as when you walk by the bulletin board and you look at the list and you go, yeah, I really don't want to do that, Lord, but okay. And you sign that one that's harder to sign, not the easy one where you get a free meal. Right? It really is like, oh yeah, I will go visit some people. And it's an accumulation. It's when you wanna, you're at work or you're with that family member, you're with that friend, and you wanna open your mouth and you shut it instead. And instead of you just being real, instead of you just being free and just speaking your mind, you actually listen to God for a moment and say, be slow to speak. It really is not passing by that piece of garbage that you just saw and that has nothing to do with you. And it's not your responsibility, but you just walk by it when somebody else will get it. But you stop because you have a relationship with God and you go, you know what, Lord, let me put that. Because I recognize that every square inch of real estate on this earth is yours. I'm your kid. I'm going to clean that up. Okay, now all those things really might sound ridiculous to you, but they add up. They add up in the seek meter. They add up in the seek thermometer. And eventually what's going to happen is after Father, it's not a God's waiting for you to do this amount, and then it's not that. It's your heart is being turned toward God, and then you're going to get understanding. And look back to the mosaic. And so it's a little piece here that you're reading and you're like, oh, man, that wasn't special. But thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for your word. I didn't know that before. And then you hear someone, you're listening to a song 2 months later and you're like, oh, that one verse, I never, that really ministered to me. And then you're with a friend and they say something that seems irrelevant, but it just sticks with you. Right? And then the next time you're praying and then all of a sudden you get a thought that you never had before. And all these things seem irrelevant. But because you have turned your heart toward God and because you are now seeking Him and you're doing the little things day in and day out and you're dying to yourself, which is not easy, all of a sudden God creates a picture out of all those little things that He gave you and you now understand something you didn't understand before. And let me tell you, that is better than silver. That is better than gold. It is better than anything in your life because you just got to know the eternal, infinite God better. And you're able to express Him in a world that is so desperate to know Him. But it takes time. It takes relationship. I saw this. I absolutely love this. And I'm gonna butcher it completely because I didn't write it down. But it's something like this. Religion is a man in church thinking about fishing. A personal relationship with God is a man fishing thinking about God. And I thought that's so beautiful because that's a reality. I was going to visit Angie Hartzell last week, and I parked my car, and this might seem silly to you, but it's not silly to me. I parked my car, and as soon as I got out of the car, I was changing my shoes because I didn't want to go into the establishment with my cool sandals that I wear everywhere. So I have other shoes in the car for just moments like this. So I think, well, I have to represent everybody, not just me. So I'm putting on my shoes and I look in the parking lot and there was a piece of paper that was about, I would say, 1 centimeter square. And it was directly under my field of vision as I was putting my shoe on. And then I put my other shoe on and I shut my car door. And my thought went through my mind, you should pick up that piece of paper. And I went, nah, it's not my piece of paper and the thing's so little. And I'm telling you, it was like conviction came all over me off a little piece of paper. I mean, this piece of paper is this big. I don't know how that piece of paper got there. I don't know whose it was. So I bend down like this because my belly's in the way. And I pick up that piece of paper and I put it in the garbage in my car and I walk away. Because that little square inch of real estate that was that piece of paper was on is Jesus's. He rules and reigns over every square inch of real estate. And guess who gets to administrate that rulership? You and me. Now, I can complain about someone throwing a whole bag of garbage out in the middle of the road and it's scattered everywhere because that's obvious. But when it's my responsibility to pick up a little piece of paper, do I take the time to do it? It matters. It really matters. Hear the word of the Lord. That little thing matters. It's all about your seek. It's all about giving your life as a living sacrifice. It's all about you. Yes, go ahead. Say the kind word. Yeah, go ahead. Take the beating and don't give it back. It's all about you not promoting yourself, but allowing others to be promoted. It's all about the seek. Because as you desire, God, one day, I don't know when it's going to be, one hour, I don't know when it's going to be, God is going to give you a gift. And that gift is going to be to know Him better. It might be peace. I hear it all the time. I hear, you read, it's like everything in our society is about anxiety and everything is about peace and everything's about stress. We live in probably one of the greatest societies and have more than we have in any other society. I mean, I'm always amazed when I think of indoor plumbing. What a blessing that is. How many are alive that had to not use that, where you had to go outside? Are there any still left? Yeah. I can't even imagine what that would be like. I just can't. I never had to live through that. That I can actually go to my sink and go like this. Anyway, we live in the greatest civilization in terms of things that we have at our disposal, but it has made us more anxious and more stressful. We have at our fingertips that I can study anything I want to say. I can get any information right now, right here, in your presence. Ask me a question. Go ahead. And I can ask Siri, if that's her real name, to tell me the answer to that question. But yet I'm so stressed about everything. Maybe that's why I am. What price tag can you put on peace of mind to be able to lay your head on a pillow and be out in 1 minute? What value can you place on a child saying to you, love you? What value can you place on that? What value can you place on your ability to breathe and take a deep breath? What value can you place on the ability to see? All part of the mosaic. In the adult Sunday school, Jackie's been leading on wow. And we talk about wow moments. And everybody's been sharing their wow moments, and they've been incredible. But really, it's all about cultivating an appreciation and a contentment for all things. To see God in the mundane, if you want to even say that. God, what I'm trying to say is that as you give yourself to God in seeking, he gives back these, the Bible calls them true riches, that there's no equation for it. Like I wish I had equations. It'd be so much easier. There's no equation on how you get peace. There's no equation on how your children look back into your eyes and say, I love you and thank you for everything you've ever done. There's no equation for being able to have the ability to breathe. There's no equation for those things. Seek God. Love Him. Seek His heart, seek His ways, and He will make your way successful. And all I did was pray. And all I did was worship. And all I did was seek his face. And I can look back over 36 years of knowing him. And I can say without equivocation, without any misgiving, I am clueless. I am not smart enough to know what I know about God by reading it in this book. I am not. I am not kidding. I am not being preachy. I am not being evangelistic. I am not. A very dear friend of me calls me the clueless wonder. I like it. It's okay. I like it. I don't have the ability to put the pieces together. And then Jesus comes and he gives understanding. In your worst at times, when you are being the biggest jerk, when you're being the biggest hardhead, when you're being this most self-absorbed person in the world, and he comes and does something humble for you, and he just melts your heart. There's no God like our God. So I encourage you to seek. Let me give you this last illustration. So in 1 Corinthians 15, it talks about that if the rulers of this world had known what they did when they crucified Jesus, they wouldn't have done it. Paul said that. Do I have that scripture in there just so they can read that? So we can read it together, 1 Corinthians? Yeah. So God's wisdom is a mystery. You know why it's a mystery? You know why God's understanding is a mystery? Because it's hidden. And God delights to reveal those things to his family and his friends. But even the wisdom that is hidden, which God foreordained before the worlds unto our glory, verse 8, that might be Jesus right now. Okay, so, look what it says, which none of the rulers of this world had known, for had they known it, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. Now that can mean one of two things. That can either mean the rulers, like the chief priests and the Pharisees and Pilate, or it can mean the rulers and the powers and the principalities of this world, the unseen. I believe it means the rulers of the unseen world. Because it always puzzled me that if Satan had known what the crucifixion was going to do, that it would take away all his power and all his authority, why did he do it? Why did he push it? Because he didn't. Because he didn't know. Because if he had known, Paul said, he wouldn't have done it. Because as soon as Jesus died, all his power and authority was taken away. You know why he didn't know it? Because it comes through revelation, it comes through understanding, it comes through God giving that and putting all the mosaic pieces together. Oh, but we can look back now. This is why you have to understand this is such a gift. That you can look back now and you can go, oh, look, he said he'll put enmity between his seed and your seed. And we know who that is. And then you can go to all the prophets and the messianic prophets. He'll be bruised for any. Oh, that's Jesus. But you couldn't do that until now. And so God puts all the pieces together for us now through revelation and through understanding. Peter, flesh and blood, did not reveal this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. Satan and the band couldn't know what they had done, because if they had known, they wouldn't have done it. Because it's revelation. Imagine, I mean, what an incredible gift you have, that the Holy Spirit is in you, the Spirit of truth, that you can know these things, that God will freely give you the things that are hidden in his identity. That you can know the infinite God of glory. That you can know him. This is a journey. It's like a treasure hunt of the infinite. When will you exhaust God? You never will. And so God will put them together for you. And so, they who come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that what? Diligently? So go after him. Desire to know him. Desire to know him. Not even for the benefit of any blessing. Get to know him. Because that is the blessing. That is the blessing. Take time When you'll notice, right? Like I'm not talking in mysteries. What's going to happen is the Holy Spirit's going to give you a little prompt. He's going to say, go ahead, put the fork down. Go ahead, turn the TV. I know you're listening to a song about me, but turn it off. Go ahead, you just talk to me. I love to hear your voice. I'm the only one, but I love to hear it. I'm the only one in the car with you. Spend time with me. In the valley of despair, on the mountain of wonderful gifts, let's stand together. We have a wonderful promise. I'll start it, you finish it. Ask. Seek. Knock. Right? So if you couldn't hear that, it was ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Who said that? Jesus. Does Jesus ever lie? And so it gives me such incredible comfort and joy in knowing that the truths I just shared with you are that as you as an individual, and we as a church family, and you as a child of God, as we just begin to ask and we begin to seek, as we begin to knock, that the Father begins to put the picture together. I'm so excited that Father will give you exceeding abundantly above what you can ask or even think. I'm so thankful for God's faithfulness that He who started a good work in you is going to complete it. He's not just the author of your salvation, but He's the perfecter. I'm so thankful that God is at the helm of our ship and that the captain is going to bring us, the captain of our souls, the captain of our salvation, is going to bring us into our port and into our dock in His perfect time, in His perfect way. Father, I'm so thankful that You can take what seems to us to be just this big ball of knotted yarn or a cobweb and just so confusing, and there's no way we could ever untangle, untie, make sense of. But then You come and You give light in the darkness. You take what was chaos and You give it order. You take what was and You speak and You make it new. Or You can even take what doesn't exist and You speak and You make it and create it. Oh, Father, where if You be for us, who can be against us? We just speak Your presence and blessing over one another. And thank You for Your peace. Father, I thank You that as You give us Your identity and Your ability and Your wisdom and Your character and Your nature, that we as the church will express You to the world that just needs You so desperately. Every one of our coworkers, every one of our family that don't know You, we have the privilege of being a glimmer of Your glory, a fragment of Your reflection. Just a little bit of the puzzle that helps them put the pieces together. And so thank You for letting us be sensitive to Your voice of the little things. As we go into the new year, we're excited. We recognize this is our calendar, not Yours. But we're excited for what You have for us and the good works You have prepared before us. Now, Father, for our physical needs. If you have a physical need, just let your response be your hands going up. Father, our hands up are our response, our responsibility. Do what the doctors can't. Do what medicine can't, Father. Thank you for touching us in your time. Thank you for touching us in a way that you will receive absolute and complete honor. And Father, we're thinking of those who aren't here. Thank you for meeting their need as well. Thank you for life. Thank you for giving life. Thank you for doing what is impossible. And now, Father, we speak to one another's souls. Like David said, why so downcast, all my soul? Put your trust in God. We speak to one another's souls and we say, peace, be still. We say to one another's minds, peace, be still. We say to one another's emotions, peace, be still. Thank you, Father. Now may the God of peace, who brought again the Lord Jesus from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. And all of God's people said, amen. God bless you. Happy New Year. See you next year.